Guildies and alliances, heroes and henchies, welcome to the greatest podcast on Tyria, Guildcast, part of the Virgin Worlds Podcast Collective. And now, your host, Sean.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the 78th episode of Guildcast for August 11th, 2007. I'm your host, Sean. Last week, a few gaming journalists and bloggers were invited to Seattle to ArenaNet's headquarters to check out some gameplay demos on Eye of the North. One of those people was Michael Zenke of Mog Nation. He was kind enough to do a Skype interview with Lady Sinea and I regarding what he experienced at this event. So, I bring this episode to you as a breaking news type of show. Of course, I will still have the webcomic episode up in a few days, as it is mostly edited, but I had to squeeze this one in here as its own episode just as quickly as possible. So, most of the newest game updates from this week and the last week relate to skill balancing, and I won't read over all of those because that can get pretty boring, but I will put a link to the exact changes in the show notes for today. One of the most significant changes to the game this week, though, was the change to the favor system. To ensure that all territories share in the favor of the gods together, ArenaNet has made several modifications to the favor system. The favor of the gods has been changed from a territory-based PvP reward to a globally-based PvE reward system. Players can now earn world favor in 1-hour blocks. These blocks are earned when 20 individuals have achieved the maximum rank in several specific titles. Players who obtain maximum rank in these titles while the world holds favor will extend the 1-hour block by an additional 3 minutes. The following maximum level title tracks count towards achieving favor of the gods. There is Survivor, Defender of Ascalon, Legendary Cartographer, Legendary Guardian, Legendary Skill Hunter, Legendary Vanquisher, Sunspear, Lightbringer, Kurzik, Luxon, Lucky, Unlucky, Gamer, Drunkard, Treasure Hunter, Wisdom, Sweet Tooth, Hero, Gladiator, Champion, and Commander. Once an individual has achieved the maximum rank of one of these titles, players in specific outposts will receive a message informing them how close the world is to receiving the god's favor, which title was achieved, and the name of the player who achieved it. The outposts that will broadcast this message include Temple of the Ages, Xinku Corridor, Chantry of Secrets, Lion's Arch, Kainang Center, Kamadan, and the Great Temple of Balthazar. When the world holds the favor of the gods, players can type /favor to display the length of time before the favor of the gods expires. Typing this command when the world does not have the favor of the gods displays how many more players must achieve the maximum rank in a title before the world once again earns favor. And finally, the Hall of Heroes message no longer references the favor of the gods. So basically what they've done is something that a lot of players have been complaining about since the game was released, basically, or since they started doing this, that PvP achievements should not affect PvE access, I guess, you know, to the higher end PvE areas. So, you know, I'd really be interested in hearing what a lot of people have to say about this. I know there's a thread going on right now in the Guildcast forums about this. So, you know, get in there and let us all know what you think about this. So, now for some Eye of the North news not covered in this interview. First off, there will be a Guild Wars Platinum Edition for new players, which will include both Prophecies and Eye of the North, and will release on August 31st when Eye of the North makes its retail release. The biggest benefit to this package deal is the price, only €49.99 or $59.99, which is a significant discount from the two if you were to buy them separately. Also, the sneak peek weekend for Eye of the North will begin on August 24th, 2007 at 12:01 a.m. Pacific time for those who have pre-ordered the expansion. To travel to the Far Shiver Peaks and access the sneak peek content, speak with one of the following NPCs during this time: Len Calderon in Lion's Arch, Minister of Maintenance Ryugyan in Kaineng Center, however you pronounce that, Ryugyan, Benda in Kamadan. And the early access ends on August 26, 2007 at 11:59 p.m. Pacific Time. All progress, items, skills, and heroes you have unlocked and obtained during the sneak peek weekend will be accessible again when the game goes live on August 31st. So, now that we have all that out of the way, let's go ahead and listen to the interview Lady Sinea and I did with Michael Zenke. I guess we'll just go ahead and get started. You want to go ahead and just introduce yourself and let people know who you are and everything?
Sure. Well, my name is Michael Zenke, and my day job is the games editor over at the slashdot.org, and I also do freelance work at 1UP.com, The Escapist, and Occasional Games Sutra, and I have a blog over at mognation.com, M-O-G-N-A-T-I-O-N.com, and that last bit is sort of how I got invited to ArenaNet this week.
And that's the story that we're interested in here today. We want to know all about your adventures over there in Seattle and what you got to see and everything. But we're also joined here by Lady Sinea.
Hello.
And it's been a long time since we've talked together on Skype.
Probably a couple months.
Yeah, it's been a while, so it's good to hear your voice.
It wasn't too long ago that we actually talked.
Yeah, well, I mean, in person, I think, was the last time.
Well, I'm glad I could bring you two together, get the fighting over
with.
One
big happy family.
Hugs.
Oh, okay, can we cut the mushy crap now?
Certainly.
So, I have a question, though. What is this, like, ArenaNet land? Is this a new area content or something like that?
Indeed, it is coming up in an upcoming... Well, you see, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but you play this game. And this game is made by people. And people have to live and work somewhere.
What?
Yeah.
That's absurd.
I'm sorry, it doesn't exist in a vacuum. It's saddening, but it's true. No, actually, the folks at ArenaNet were kind enough to invite myself and several other journalists In the capacity I was going, I was not a journalist. I was a blogger, which is a very different creature. But they invited a bunch of people to go to their offices and play Eye of the North a whole bunch.
How did you get chosen? Is it just because you are a columnist and a blogger and such?
That's my assumption. I've had a kind of a conversational relationship with some of the PR folks over there. And so I assume when they were putting the list together that, you know, oh, that one guy, we've talked to him. He probably doesn't smell too bad. Let's invite him. So that was where that came from.
Cool.
So basically, showed up in the morning and we sort of had a briefing just on Eye of the North in general. They went and ran down kind of the bullet points of all the different, elements, that's going to go into the expansion. They had someone demoing it the whole time, and we got to look at a pretty beautiful imagery. And then after that, we went over to kind of an area they had set up to actually demo the game hands-on. And they gave us kind of a guided tour, and they gave us a tour of their offices, which was really interesting. And then I had the chance to sit down with a couple of people, Jeff Strain and Mike O'Brien, some of the two of the founders of the company. Got to interview them. Actually interviewed them mostly about Guild Wars 2. Kind of felt them out about just kind of the idea behind why they're making an expansion, that sort of thing. All in all, it was a really interesting experience. I've spoken to game developers, in the past, but like it was really interesting to see them in their work environment and kind of up front, very passionate, very enthusiastic about what they're doing after obviously having worked months and months and months on this project already. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty much the day. And Yeah, man, they have a lot of concept art there. Like, I guess, like, if I had one, like, kind of strange anecdote, it would be just that you literally can't walk through the place without, like, kind of wading through piles of concept art. They're working, I think they're pretty much almost done with the art for Eye of the North, so they're working on Guild Wars 2 now, and they take the art and they put it up on the walls, and they write on it when either done, you know, when they finished doing that, taking the art and turning it into a 3D model, or they just pull it off the wall and let it lie on the ground. So there's these big, like, drifts of concept art in some of the hallways. And this is, you know, I mean, you've seen the concept art for Guild Wars. It's ridiculously beautiful. So it's these beautiful sketches, just, you know, they're obviously just printouts, but they're just lying on the floor. You know, these works of art. And so that was kind of like one of the images that I have in my head from the experience was just these people are really, really creative, and they just have these crazy awesome pieces of art just kind of lying all over the floor. It was really interesting experience.
Yeah. They've got so much fantastic art, they don't need that piece.
Yeah.
Yeah, did you happen to take any for yourself? Or?
No, not for myself. They actually did give everybody a piece of art.
Oh, nice.
But I'm not going to keep, I'm actually going to give it away on my website.
So. Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's something from Nightfall, I think. But it's ridiculously beautiful, as always. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, there's, actually I've checked out a lot of their artists' work, and they have this blog that where kind of the artists get together and throw up little ideas that they have, and some of those just everyday things that they paint and they sketch with charcoal and all that is just amazing work.
Yeah.
They're really talented.
You gotta put that up on the site. I've never seen that one. I'd really like to check that out. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, I'll send you a link to it.
Cool. I mean, I have an art looking really good. I'm not sure. I've only played Guild Wars like a very small portion of the time you folks have, I'm sure. But, I mean, I've got a level 20 character. I'm looking forward to kind of taking in the content. But what really struck me was just the strong story, basically, because we basically got to, like, start at the beginning of the expansion and kind of work our way through, like, the first, I don't know, like, 2 hours or whatever, in sort of an abbreviated format because they just kind of jumped us around and stuff. But it was all, you know, these cute little Ashura with awesome voices and the dwarves and the crazy Norn and the Char, and it was all...
I gotta stop you. What's an awesome voice?
The primary Ashura that I believe is going to be your hero companion is voiced by the same guy that was the Brain in Pinky and the Brain.
Oh,
awesome!
Awesome.
Yes.
We're trying to figure out if it's going to be like a deep voice or like a tiny little voice, you know?
It's awesome. Yeah. No, it's kind of got they said they wanted like an Orson Welles quality to it, and that's totally.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. So.
That's cool. Well, from what I've seen, they always have like, they're really strong with story and with the artwork, for sure. And then they've been playing around with different aspects of gameplay recently with like the past two chapters and such, you know?
Right.
So,
yeah.
I mean, I saw a couple of interviews, like one where they said, we're going to put out all this stuff in Eye of the North and, you know, see how the players react to it. And I mean, I suspect that they'll want our feedback to find out whether we like the things that they're introducing to see if we'll like that kind of thing in Guild Wars 2.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Thank you for mentioning that, because that was one other thing that they really kind of got across, or they were obviously trying to get across to us, was kind of this sense of, like, you guys, the players, well, me too, because I play the game too, but us, the players, are really the people that they look to know whether or not they're succeeding with the game. They have a whole wall set up with letters that people have written to them, saying, you know, I love this game. Oh my God, you know, I can't stop playing it. Thank you so much for making this game. Some of them are absolutely hilarious. One of them was from a woman who was like, you have stolen my boyfriend. Please shut down the game right now. there was another very long, kind of, insightful one about, a gentleman who had, experienced some sort of difficulty in his life, but Guild Wars really helped him out because it was a chance to kind of interact socially with people in sort of a safe setting and that sort of thing. And it was a really kind of moving letter. And they have a whole wall of these things, right near their community department. And it was this great kind of visual representation of this message that they kept telling us over and over again throughout the course of the day, that like the Guild Wars players are the people that they ultimately look to see whether something succeeds or not. And this expansion, I guess, is basically like completely fan service. I didn't recognize half the stuff that's in there, but I'm sure a completely veteran Guild Wars player would have been kind of squeeing themselves. Gwen is definitely in there, obviously. I mean, mm-hmm. she's in there and feisty. So other than that, wow.
I did notice that you had on, I think it was the Flickr page for Mognation. Mm-hmm. I saw that today where it has a lot of photos on there. I don't know if you had anything to do with those photos or anything, but I saw that wall you were talking about, the wall of letters.
Yeah.
And I guess all that was put up today or yesterday or...
No, the impression I got was it's been up there for a while.
No, actually. I mean the pictures on Flickr from.
Yeah. Just, as I said, I'm not firing on all cylinders. Yes, I just put them up this week.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, my camera unfortunately wasn't working, so I didn't get any pictures myself. But one of the guys who worked there was taking pictures, so.
Okay, cool.
He passed them to me to put up. So.
I'll put a link to that.
I see this picture that you're talking about. They have like the letters all over the walls.
Yeah.
It's cute.
Yep. But as for the gameplay stuff and kind of their going in different directions with that, the mini games that are in the expansion are freaking hilarious. They really kind of stepped back and said, all right, like the players really like funny stuff, so let's go ahead and just do some stuff that's got some humor to it. So, like, Polymock is totally Pokemon. The Norn fighting tournament is a complete, entire homage to like, 2D side fighting games.
Oh, nice. Mortal Kombat.
Like Mortal Kombat Street Fighter. The first boss that you face in the Norn fighting tournament is, his initials are M. Bison. So, yeah. And then there's Dwarven Boxing, which is my new favorite thing to do while I'm awake. I'm kind of retarded over this now because it was so fun. It's completely different than anything else I've done in the game before because, your little boxing powers, you know, it replaces your skill bar like it does in a lot of different situations like this, but it replaces your skill bar with specific skills. And you can earn new ones as you kind of move up in the ranks. But it kind of works like adrenaline with warriors where you keep punching and fighting and stuff and higher level powers kind of unlock themselves. And then you can use them while you have the chance and do a bunch of damage.
So it's like Mike Tyson's Punch Out or something?
Yeah, it kind of has that feel. But like the powers themselves, like especially the basic punch, has absolutely no refresh time. So you can just spam that thing over and over and over again. And then there's kind of a dodge block skill. It feels, it's even faster than normal Guild Wars combat, which I have always found to be really, really fast mm-hmm. compared to most kind of online games. So you wade in there and the first boxing ring is this kind of little pit. And you fight against like these seven different guys, and it's just crazy fast. You just mop the floor with them, and then you move on through the story with this dwarf, who this other dwarf owes him money, is my understanding, and so you're kind of acting as like his heavy, where you're helping him get his money back from this guy who welched on his debt. And it's the first arena kind of made me a little nervous because it's just literally like a 10-foot wide pit. But the very next one, the very next mission is this huge ice cavern, like this series of caves, and with a whole bunch of different enemies. And I'm told that continuing on from there until the end of that storyline, there's only the one storyline, but continuing on there from there through the rest of the storyline, there's a couple other different places you go to. So not only do you get to do this really fun, kind of very different combat style, but you get kind of to do it in these different areas with all this different background flavor to it. Mm. And now I've gone on at length about this silly mini game, but it was the thing that I would have just kept doing if it wasn't for the fact that it was horribly bugged while we were there, and I couldn't really do anything. Yeah, it was when you get knocked out, there's a power that like you spam it and you can stand up, getting up off the mat in a boxing ring, except it was bugged so that if you got knocked down at all, you kept falling over and you couldn't get back up.
Oh,
so, yeah.
Well, they got a few weeks to iron that out, I guess.
Oh yeah, no, all the stuff that I saw that was kind of buggy just was really minor stuff that I'm sure they're gonna get fixed up by the time it launches.
So is that only like a player versus environment instanced area, or can you like go 1v1 against your friend boxing each other?
Their idea with the mini games is that they're kind of this short downtime thing you do, like while you're waiting for a group to form or whatever. So the three, Polymach, Norn, Arena, and then Boxing, Dwarven Boxing, are all PvE. But while we were there, they were talking to us about Polymach, which would be pretty simple, I think, to turn into a PvP thing. And they're like, should we do this? Like, would it be fun? And, like, several of us there were like, yeah, I mean, it's fun enough as it is, but being able to challenge other people would be, you know, it would add just that much more to it. So, Polymach might end up being PvP. They were kind of open to that idea. Mm-hmm. But the other two, it sounds like, are pretty much going to be just PvE, so.
Boy, I'm excited for this.
Yeah, no, it's a different experience for me because I've kind of missed out on all the other Guild Wars launches, basically. So I'm really looking forward to getting in kind of on the ground floor with Eye of the North and experiencing that content firsthand. So, is there anything about it that you guys like have been really like wondering about, or
not particularly wondering? But there was a video during E3 where the guy had some misinformation, and unfortunately it was one of the things that he said was like the only one thing that I was excited about the game.
Oh.
And then I looked, and one of our listeners pointed out to me that in the community relations wiki area, they explained like, oh no, this is not actually the case.
What was the thing? I missed that.
Like I say, there's a couple things that were said, like they said dwarves would be a playable race, but it's not. But the thing that was that I was all psyched about was that there's the continent of, or the kingdom of Orr.
Okay.
And they said that was going to be an area that you could go through, and it's apparently a different area of Tyria.
Gotcha.
I was like totally bummed about that.
Yeah, we only saw a very small portion of the whole expanse, because it's huge. It's like an entire another prophecies on top of, you know, the existing prophecies area.
Mm-hmm. Now, how does that work? Is there like a different map that shows like the underside of it, because you through the same areas, or how does it work?
Oh no, you pull back with the map, and I mean you can see all the way down to, you know, Escalon City and all that kind of stuff. It's all one big continuous map.
Oh cool.
Yeah, the dungeons are reached through gates in specific areas, I think is what that was the impression I got, is that you go to specific areas and then you hop through a gate and then that's how you get to a dungeon. But the overland areas, like the Eye of the North itself and the Dwarven settlements, those are all on the overland.
That's shown on the actual.
So.
There's there's a bunch of areas in the game currently where you go in there and it's not actually shown on the map. Like you go into the instance and your map is black, basically.
Right.
Like in the Domain of Anguish or like the Fissure of Woe. And
yeah.
I was wondering, was might be like that when you go into a dungeon area. It's just like black. It's not part of the normal map.
It's exactly like that. When you hop into a dungeon, actually, their goal is kind of to introduce sort of some exploratory elements. Like they were kind of likening it to Zelda, where you hop in and your mini map is black. And you have no sense of what the dungeon's like. But as you move through it, you can find, like, little map items that'll open up, take away part of the fog of war and you know, show the map to you. And then there's other items that'll mark on your map where the bosses are or where treasure is and that sort of thing.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, they're making it a lot more kind of dungeon crawly than the game ever has before.
Now, do you know if, as far as talking about the map and everything, as far as like Tyrian Explorer titles, do you know how will they work that if the cities that they're making for the expansion are actually included on the Tyrian map? I mean, just an expansion of the map. What will they do as far as the Tyrian Explorer titles? Did they mention anything about that?
I didn't ask specifically. I'm kicking myself now because it's an awesome question, and I should have asked that. But they didn't mention it specifically. Mm-hmm. I would imagine maybe they do like another title on top of the Tyrian one, but
it's not going to affect anyone who currently has the Tyrian cartographer title.
Yeah, I would think not.
Right,
but it didn't say anything about an additional title. It would probably depend a lot on how much additional area there is to explore, because if it's a significantly smaller area, it's going to be like a piece of cake to map.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, it's huge.
Oh, is it?
It's big?
Okay.
It's really, really big. I mean, like I said, I mean, it's like a whole nother, like, prophecies map on top of the one that's already there. I mean, if you when you pull it, actually, there's a screenshot of the new map on in my Flickr thing, and it's hard to really judge because it's so pulled so far back, but, I mean, that thing is huge. Yeah.
Probably be an additional title on top of
I'd imagine. Because I heard that they're actually going to have the southern part of the Maguma jungle is going to be where the Asura are. And I'm just wondering if you can, like, run from, you know, Maguma Stade down, you know, if there's, like, a way you could run down there or, you know what I mean? I just wonder if they're going to incorporate it into, like, little sections that aren't explored yet on the Tyrian map, if they're going to make little settlements here and there that we can explore further. I think that would be really cool.
Yeah, we jumped around a lot just by fast traveling, so we actually didn't get a chance to do a whole lot of actual exploring. Uh-huh. So I'm not really sure how they're going to do that. So
it'd be interesting though.
Yeah.
So you're not an expert having been there one day?
I am not an expert by any
means. Yeah, I'm asking you all these detailed questions. I'm like.
I did notice today that they when they changed the way that Favor of the Gods work, they specifically mentioned that they're going to include a bunch of new titles in Eye of the North. So maybe the Eye of the North exploration title, maybe that'll be one of the ones they include in there. So
yeah, that would naturally be one of those max titles because it's similar to one that's established already.
You know, and I heard also that they're not going to have new elite skills. Did they mention that?
No.
I do remember them saying there's going to be a whole bunch of new PvE skills, but I didn't specifically ask about elites. So
I'm hoping that's just a rumor. So let me just say that again. I hope that's just a rumor. All those people are going to say, Sean said. No.
But with those PvE skills, I know that that kind of that humor element that I was mentioning earlier, I know they had a really good time kind of working that into the PvE skills and making them be kind of, you know, effective but funny at the same time. Like, I think they mentioned that there's one where you help out a dwarf, and as a result, he gives you a skill where if you're drunk, you, you're more effective at doing damage in some way. So.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
cool.
And then, that also kind of applies to some of the quests and stuff too, and little homages, like outside of the Norn fighting tournament, the Street Fighter II illusions, there's also, I guess there's a dungeon, called something like, Arachne's Haunt, and, that one is sort of a big, tip of the hat to the movie Aliens. So there's a character in there named Huds, and one named Hick, and, one named, I think Vaska. And then, you know, you're going on a bug hunt where you're killing a whole bunch of spiders, that swarm you from various places. So, they had fun with this one.
They're so good at those pop culture references,
though. Yeah. All the references in it. They've had some really, like, quite amusing, quest chains and things like that. But, and like, with the, clever skill naming. But a skill that it changes in the gameplay so significantly, like you do more damage when you're drunk. That's a big gameplay change.
I hope that I've been able to kind of convey what little information I was able to glean from the.
I want to know mainly. Did you get to meet Gale Gray?
I did very briefly.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we talked for like. Like a
did you ask her to marry you? Because that's what you're supposed
to.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
That's what everybody does when.
You noob. That's what you're supposed to do when you meet her.
Sorry. Next time.
Yes. She's gonna avoid you now. Next time.
Indeed. Yeah. No. Mostly, I was the designers were hovering and talking to us about. Do you like this? Do you like that? What do you think? It was an interesting experience. So,
I like what you said about the different little mini games. They might be cool distractions.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think there's been a lot of information released about that.
Yeah, it was, I actually found them, really entertaining. I know they see them as just kind of something to, like, pass the time and stuff, but, like, there's actually a little bit of depth there. You can use them to up your faction with the Norn and the Azura, and obviously both of them have a whole bunch of, skills to give you, based on your faction, how well they like you. And then the Norn fighting tournament, they're actually, heroes that you can unlock by playing through the matches. I, like, just in the very first one, I unlocked a hero for myself, and I was like, oh, this is excellent. And then you get out of the match, and you go talk to the little tournament runner, and he's got a quest for you that talks about the hero that you just unlocked, and you can go off and kind of explore that hero's backstory a little bit and get to know the guy that you just met and beat the crap out of in the arena. So... they kind of intended it as just like a little time waster, but they really put a lot of, for what it is, they put a lot of effort into it. So very excellent.
Cool. So did they, basically just leave you alone? They let everyone just kind of play the game and explore it for themselves?
Oh, no. We were handheld.
Oh, okay.
For the whole
thing. That's what I figured.
It would have been bad. It would have been very bad if we'd been left to our own devices. Cause, I haven't played that. I mean, I have a level 20 character, but I haven't played the game that much. But I was the one with the most experience there in having played the game. And, so most of the other journalists were like, what does this button do? And that sort of thing. So if we'd just been left to our own devices, it would have been a sad state. As it was. Developer cheat things a whole bunch. So,
I'm curious, how many people there were like MMO bloggers, and how many were like journalists from like established magazines or something?
There was myself and another gentleman from Destructoid. for the blogger side, and then one from a gentleman from the site Games Radar. And then there were only like six or seven of us there, and then the rest of the folks were folks from like GameSpot, PC Gamer. There wasn't anyone from Games for Windows, but is it Kristen or Kirsten? I don't recall. From PC Gamer.
Oh,
she,
cool.
She was there again. So I imagine you'll be seeing another another piece from her on the experience, because they got a lot of video and that sort of thing. So, yeah, no, it was all very nice people as well. So,
and you said in the email that ArenaNet's they know about Guildcast. Is that what you said?
Yeah, no, I was kind of talking up the Virgin World Collective in general, and hadn't really heard of it, but then I'm like, you know, Guildcast is in it, and they're like, oh, okay, I gotcha, we're on the same page, gotcha. So yeah, no, they've
that's
definitely
cool.
heard of you guys. So yeah, no, good, good people over there. It was a good experience.
Don't worry about it. Sean will just take what you say out of context later and make it sound even funnier.
Your podcast is quite depressing, actually. Quick, ask me something. I'm failing.
What's your favorite color?
Like blue.
I thought I liked you, but I'm sorry. It is not meant to be.
Sorry. Well, I'm married anyway, so it would probably not work out very well. I apologize for any edits that you'll have to do, because I lost my mind in the middle of it.
This has been a presentation of Guildcast.com. Guildcast is part of the Virgin Worlds Podcast Collective.